to the block, the fun stops. Niggas was calling cops, people shot, nobody stopped. I wonder when the world stopped. Came last. Oh, motherfucking shit. Wednesday, April 24th, 2013. It's a beautiful motherfucking day to be alive. Let Tupac tell you. What? Hit it, Lee. Tremendous, tremendous. And then Miss Barker for you. Are you fucking kidding me? Put that on. Listen to that, Lee Zurich. Are you kidding me? I'm sliding up the stairs through my rear view. Are you fucking kidding me? That's the only fucking way to do it. Is to stare at that motherfucking rear view and tell it, suck my dick. That's behind me, motherfucker. It's a whole new day. It's Wednesday, cocksucker. What? Feel that motherfucking heartbeat. That's not something in your chest. That's your fucking soul. Go out there and take it, you fucking dirty cocksuckers. It's Wednesday. What's up, Lisa, at you bad motherfucker?
Not much, man.
A fucking flying Jew today looking good with his green shirt. You know what that spells?
What?
Cash, motherfucker. That's what every Jew should have. A green fucking shirt on with a green hat. With a fucking green ring with the money sign on it. That's a real Jew. When I start my Jewish chapter of my fucking religion, fuck yarmulkes. You gotta wear a big ring with cash on it. That's the way we do it, Jews. You gotta sue somebody every day. You gotta take a slip and a fall from time to time. Science, motherfuckers. What's happening?
Not much. You were so quiet when you came in and all of a sudden you're...
You got me all fucking pissed off this morning. You don't want to eat no brownie. You didn't eat that chick's pussy last night. She slept on the couch again waiting for you to tear her up. She knows what I'm telling you. She knows I'm coaching you. She knows I'm in your corner. I'm like your Mickey. Eat her fucking monkey. She sleeps over with her legs open on you. I was inside watching the Boston Celtics game. I'll fucking kill you, cocksucker.
But she came over way after the Celtics game.
I know, but you probably taped it and fucking watched it and analyzed it.
No, she fucking... She has a boyfriend. I'm not going to do
that. He's coming in today and he's leaving Monday. You could have gave her a stabbing before the boyfriend. The boyfriend would have been tasting your little Jew dick in there. Instead, now you got, when you tag that fucking thing, you got to chase Magumba's fucking ass. You know what I'm saying?
Fucking Jesus God, Christ.
Suck it. What's happening, beautiful people? What do you want me to tell you?
Where are you looking? You just looked over to the side. How high are you already?
High. That's it. It's high. It's 6 in the morning. How high are you? High. High. What, I'm a fucking Chinese? High. I'm fucking high. What do you want me to tell you? That's the way you're supposed to start a beautiful fucking day to be alive. Had a great set last night. The Laugh Factory with Don Herrera. Cut some people off on the way down to Laurel Canyon. You know me. That's it. Not the same shit. Went to acupuncture yesterday. Forgot to put my fucking alarm on this morning.
Oh, shit.
You know, that acupuncture sleep. The night of acupuncture, that night I fucking sleep hard.
If you could do it more often, would you do it more than once a week? Really? Because you seem to like it. You seem to get relaxed by it and stuff.
You know, I like her. I've been going for fucking 5 years, 6 years now, steady. Every Tuesday, 6 fucking years, you know. She's moved 4 times. She broke her ankle. She got sick, and I, you know, I love it. I love the whole...
So if you had millions of dollars, you wouldn't, like, have her move into, like, a wing of your house and just do it every morning?
Fuck yeah. Stick needles in my dick and my fucking eyeballs. Can you imagine me with acupuncture 5 in the morning? I'd be a fucking savage. I'd be throwing darts from my window, blowing motherfuckers from my window, throwing Chinese darts from them. You follow me?
I'm not as bad as you, but I don't like needles. I don't think I could do it.
No, but listen, I still fucking cringe.
Every
I still
time?
Cringe. Every fucking time. I still cringe. She stuck a needle in my neck yesterday. I could feel it in my tongue.
Oh, jeez. I have a family story where, because I hated needles, and I used to have to tell my doctor when I was ready for it, and one time she didn't listen to me, and then they just went for it, and I swatted her hand, and she stabbed herself in the fucking hand with the syringe, because I don't like needles.
Dog, yeah, they used to have to hold me down. Reef is tremendous today. It's the PO, I think it is. This fucking great weed. I was telling you, you got PR from NoHo Organic. $10 a gram, 26-27% THC. You let this motherfucker dry to a brittle. Tremendous.
So why do you let it dry? I've always wondered that, because you would have it set up in like your desk.
When you have it wet, you can't really smoke in the paper. It doesn't cook too good. It's wet. You got to keep lighting it. When it's dry, you cut it with a scissor and you just chunk that motherfucker up into a paper, so you're smoking chunks. You're not smoking buds. You're smoking dry chunks. You burn right through that fucking thing. The smoke. I love it.
Oh, shit. I'm always worried about the fucking smoke detector in here, but...
Fuck, the smoke, take it down. We'll shoot that motherfucker. What do you think? I don't have a smoke detector in my house. I got smoke detectors everywhere, but they don't detect this much smoke.
Oh, yeah. Luckily, we've been okay with it, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fuck, yeah. It's a beautiful day, Lee. Who gives a fuck? We got an edible for us. A little anti-dolores. 100 milligram. I'm going to eat 80-90%, and you're going to eat 10% of it.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's how we do it. Lee, we're fucking the church of what's happening now. If you don't set an example for these fucking young kids today, and eat an edible, how are they going to act? How are you going to fucking act? How are you going to act when your rims don't fucking, I ain't clean?
I didn't know eating an edible at 6 in the morning was leading an example.
It's a daily requirement. If you're going to be in the church of what's happening now, or that, you know, whatever. I don't give a fuck. It's a state of mind, Lee. Somebody asked me today, like a 14-year-old kid hit me on the email and said, what does that squad mean and what is it? I don't fucking know. And then I thought about it. That squad means you give light to the person next to you.
What do you mean by that?
Light, bro. You make somebody's fucking day once a day. That's it. That's it. You just make somebody, you blow somebody's mind by saying hello, maybe opening up a door. That's it.
Yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday because we talked about it a little bit like a while ago. But I was thinking about it. And I talk to two people every day. I talk to you, and I talk to my dad every day. And it's a weird thing, because like, I have people who I could call my best friends, and we go months without talking, and it's just, it's weird to, like, you were on the guest tonight, Bert, you were on his podcast, and he was talking about how his wife called him on the road, and she was like, I think Joey just drove by and looked at the house, and it's just... It's a weird thing about you that I was thinking about that yesterday, like, because you called me and I was like, I've talked to two people every day. It's my dad and it's Joey Diaz, a fucking 50-year-old Cuban comedian.
Why have a friend if you're not going to have a friend?
Yeah.
Nothing bothers me more when somebody goes, they call, and I have these certain friends that do that shit. They call you, you know, you call them to say hello and they're like crying and you're like, what's the problem? Did you hear about Joe? He died. Joe who? Joe whatever. And then you're like, when was the last time you fucking talked to Joe?
Yeah,
I seen him 2 years ago. We did some blow together. That's not your friend. That's some fucking acquaintance you make, and you're just crying to make fucking drama upon the situation. I can't stand that shit.
Yeah,
I've had people die, and I've seen the fakes come in, and you sit there and you're like, "What the fuck is?" You know, you see it. You see it fucking coming. Listen, when it's not the guy that's crying at the funeral. My buddy Jimmy Burke would die 2 weeks ago on Easter, and I'll tell you what, man, I call his fucking number every day.
Really?
Yeah, I call his number, and his wife disconnected it. And I want to walk to Jersey and stab her, but I can't because that's her prerogative. But you don't really feel your love for somebody at the time. It's once they're gone and they make your world that much lighter. Like, I look at certain things and certain people and certain situations, and I say to myself, once that's over, I know that I'm one day closer to dying because I can't imagine not having that person or that situation in my life. I can't imagine having a life without Superbad.
Really?
Or Harry at this point in my life. I can't imagine. I'm 50, but I've regressed into being like a child again. I can't imagine having a life without my cats. I was thinking about it this morning when I was making fucking coffee. You know how they're up. They're fucking up at 4:30 and they're meowing and you're picking them up. And they're what put me in a good mood, Lee.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know. Nobody wakes up in a fucking good mood. Nobody wants to wake up. Who the fuck wants to wake up? You know what I'm saying? Especially us in our situation at 4:30. It's very easy for me to turn over and call you and go, Lee, I ain't doing it today.
Yeah.
You know, I make a commitment, you make a commitment. Once I pee and I wash my hands and I brush my teeth and I walk into the kitchen, there's always one or two of them that's torturing me. And you want to kick them. And as you go to kick them, you look at them and you go, how can I kick something that's giving me love? How can I kick something that's rubbing up against my fucking leg? Like, you just get acting like, what the fuck do you want? And you pick them up, and right there is when my day begins. As soon as I pick up that first cat, and I rub them, and I'm pushing the coffee in, and I'm putting the fucking little coffee cup in the thing.
Yeah.
Right there. As soon as I kiss him, that's my day. I'm a new fucking man. I just did the most positive fucking thing in the world. I gave love. First thing out of bed. Nobody has that opportunity. A lot of people don't have that opportunity. And even if I had a dog, I bend over, pick up the dog, give him a kiss, rub his tummy. No matter how fucking mad I am about what the fuck, I gotta get up.
Yeah.
I got this little motherfucker that's trying to give me love, and here I am hiding in the bedroom. I don't want to fucking get up. How are you fucking not going to get up?
Yeah.
Right there, I won. Right there, I won for the day. No matter what else happens the rest of the day, I got a flat. somebody dies, somebody gets hit by a car, I don't get the role, they don't want to hire me at that club. No matter what, I started the day in a fucking positive. I bent over, picked up that cat. You know how many times Harry sits on the fucking cat food? Every day. You know, that's your favorite, Harry.
Yeah, Harry.
That motherfucker sits on the gallon of tank food every day and meows at me in the morning. And this time, and he don't meow. See, he didn't meow for the first 3 or 4 years of his life. He just started meowing in the valley. That shit's in the valley. Ever since we moved to the valley, he meows, meow, like real, you know, if he's hungry, he'll fucking break your balls. But he sits on top of the fucking cat food. Let me tell you something. You don't think that cat is that intelligent that he doesn't know that's the cat food?
Yeah.
You know why he sits there? Because I pick him up. And he gets all tight and shit, and he holds my fucking things, and his eyes get... But he looks at me. He knows I love him. And I kiss him 1,000 times. I tell him I love him, you filthy motherfucker. And then I put him down, and he does this little thing, and then I feed him. He gets purposely on the thing so he's higher than everybody else so I can pick him up and hug him in the morning.
Really?
I've already won, dog. My day is started. And then my wife comes out, and she's smiling, the baby's smiling. You know, you can't fucking lose.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why I tell people sometimes it's so important to have an animal, not because you clean litter boxes, or because it's easy to pick up girls at the park, or it's a conversation piece, because an animal will change your life in those little ways. That's something that they don't sell you at pickup.
Yeah.
That's something they don't sell you on a fucking commercial, that it's so fucking positive to have a pet. So that's why I'm... what the fuck was the question? I'm high. But I tell you, let's eat this fucking edible out of respect.
Really. Oh, Jesus
Christ. What the fuck? It's, what do you got to do today?
You got a
podcast at 8:30 tonight. That's... Ooh, that's 14 hours away. Look at this. The body of Christ compels you. Look at the size of this edible, right?
That's huge.
All right, and I'm going to give you this much, right there. Look at how much I ate, ladies and gentlemen. Ah.
God damn
it. Tougher than fucking nails. How you going to have 100 milligrams. Pop it. Don't be walking around with it like it's some chick's fucking panty.
If I don't make it tonight, people, you know why.
Yeah. How many people listening to this podcast right now would die to eat a fucking edible for breakfast?
Yeah, they'd like to do it once, and after 4 times doing it with you, like, oh shit, the stuff Joey eats aren't... You told the story last time about how you sweat for 4 straight hours. I don't know how you still eat them.
Listen, you gotta have a bad experience with something from time to time to make it more enjoyable on the other end. You know what I'm saying? So, no big deal. Just a bump in the road. If I would have crashed the plane, if I would have been Denzel, then, you know, didn't Denzel crash a plane in a movie or some shit?
He was drunk, but he flipped it over and landed it safely. I didn't even see that.
It was Sully, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was a white Sully, because Sully, you could tell his name was Sully. That motherfucker's always drinking. That guy gets up in the morning, he eats an edible and drinks just to fucking make it to the show.
Yeah, it's weird. I like weed more than I like drinking. But, like, edibles, for some reason, take it to a different level.
Different level. And the alcohol, for me, takes it to a different level. Lee, you know why I don't drink?
Why?
I don't like the taste, and I'm a pussy. You know what I'm saying? But you want me to tell you what the biggest reason why I don't drink? Because I might lose control.
Really? You think so?
Always. I might. In my mind, it's not me. It's the deep, 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 deep jaunt in my fucking brain that won't let me go past that.
Now, let me ask... I'm going to ask this, and it's not. I'm not asking in a judgy way, but you smoke a lot of fucking weed, and you eat edibles all day.
Yeah.
You don't think, like, some people would consider that, like, losing control of weed.
Absolutely.
Okay. So So you just see the difference between weed and alcohol? Like, you'd rather lose control of weed?
The weed calms me down. The weed makes me want to read a book.
Okay.
The weed makes me want to write a joke. The weed makes me want to go to the gym.
Okay.
The weed makes me want to sit down and spend time at home. Makes me think. Maybe wants to go eat with my wife. You know, the weed don't make me lose nothing. What does drinking make you want to do? You can't go to the gym. You're not socially acceptable lifting weights with alcohol in your fucking breath. You can't, you know, I don't get it.
Okay.
I never understood alcohol to the sense. And yeah, by this point in my life, I'm a little bit more, my tolerance is higher than most people. But I live in California. My drug of choice is marijuana, and it's always been. The other shit I did was stupidity. If I knew now what I knew then, I would have smoked pot the whole fucking time and not worried about nothing else. But we make detours in life, and that's why you live life through your fucking rearview mirror. You look at it, and you get stronger, and you fucking, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
You know? I never understood. I have a friend right now. She's in fucked up. She's in hell.
Yeah.
She's turning 40 tomorrow. She can't stop fucking drinking. She calls me whenever she's fucking drinking. And I made the mistake on Sunday of telling her. No, Monday night, she called me. I was driving back from the Laugh Factory.
Okay.
And I told her. And she goes, when are you in the Laugh Factory again? And as I was saying it, God damn it, Tuesday, I realized I can't take this girl anywhere. You know the broad, Jody.
Okay.
I can't take her anywhere, even though she's one of my closest friends in the world. And she cares about me and gives me all the love in the world. I can't take her nowhere because as soon as she has that first alcohol, her whole fucking head changes. She's not the same no more, and she has to stop. But I can't tell her. Who the fuck am I to tell her? You follow me?
Yeah.
It's like people saying, tell Lee not to go to Vegas. Who the fuck am I to tell Lee not to go? He's got to go feel his fucking lumps. Who would have told me something at 24?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. At 24, that's when I got in trouble with kidnapping the guy, you know? So nobody would tell me shit. I had to learn it for myself. And it's so weird she called me twice yesterday. Because you see her. Every time she shows up, it's a fucking melodrama. Remember at that fucking comic book place?
Yeah.
She was a nightmare. And she tries to hide the alcoholism. But she can't. Not in front of me, because all she has to do is talk, and I know she's drank that day.
Oh, really?
Because even if she gets up at 8 and has 3 drinks and goes back to bed at 12 and sleeps it off, I can tell.
Really?
Yeah, because I know her head. I know how calm she really is. She's embarrassed half the time. So when she walked in and started that fight with that poor fucking gay kid, off the bat, right there I decided she can't come to any other thing that I do. This is not the first time. This is not the first time. A couple of weeks ago, she showed up at a storyteller show and drove me fucking crazy. Was talking to me about shit at 10 o'clock at night, that you don't talk to people only in the morning. Shut the fuck up. But she called me last night, and I'm like, I'm not answering this fucking phone call. She's not showing up at the... Because I only had an 8-minute set. It's a 5-minute talk with whatever his name is. And you're out there with Dom Irrera.
Oh, okay.
That's it. You never seen his show?
No.
You do 8 minutes, then he comes up and he interviews you for 5 fucking minutes.
Oh, cool.
I had to follow Chris Kattan.
Really?
Chris Kattan was there.
That's crazy.
Dying.
I haven't heard that name for a while.
Dying, slow death. That's why he's doing stand-up. Dying a slow death. Trying. He's been going on the road lately. But he's trying. He went up there. I think he has like a writer, and that always sucks.
Yeah.
That always sucks. Unless you're writing, and you can put everything together. Like he gives you a tag, and you give him a call back or something, and he puts it together. You know, that always fucking sucks. So
that's a weird thing about stand-up, that it's like the only thing where you kind of have to do it yourself, or it feels kind
of
weird.
No, but a lot of people hire writers. But even if I were to hire a writer, he would have to be a dear friend and know you. He'd have to be a dear friend and know you that much that he could say, hey, I thought about a joke about you and your wife and kid. I thought about a joke about you and acupuncture. And then he could help you. You know, when Chris Rock would do his specials.
Mm-hmm.
The genius, the ones, the you know, I forget, Bigger and Blacker.
Yeah,
he would get together with Chris, with Jenny, Richard Jenny,
okay,
Nick DiPaolo, and Louis C.K.
Jesus,
and let's say they would give him $250,000. He would take $150,000 and chop it up. He'd give Nick $50, Louis C.K. $50, and Richard Jenny $50.
Okay,
and he'd go, listen, here's the deal. You're each gonna write 15 fucking minutes. And I'm going to write 15 minutes. And together, we're going to put together the strongest special in the fucking world. And you could credit yourself that you wrote. So you would see him at the store on a Monday night. But he had come from the Improv and the Laugh Factory. Okay. And some Mondays he would show up with Louis C.K. Some Mondays he would show up with Richard Jenny. And some Mondays he would show up with Nick DiPaolo. That's genius, because you get 3 different fucking flavors in your set. So if you watch those old Chris Rock specials, you could see Nick DiPaolo's humor. You could see the control of Richard Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see the outlandishness of Louis C.K.'s act all in one. I'm not saying Chris Rock is a joke to you, by no means. But it's always helped. But you have to have people that you came up with. The only people that could write for me like that is somebody like Josh Wolf or Brody.
Okay.
You know, Josh Wolf would be the perfect writer for me because he knows me. Twice a year, Josh Wolf will call me and say, bro, I wrote this joke. I don't have the balls to say it on stage. You do. Take it. And it's a brilliant fucking joke. But you get yourself into a situation. I've done one joke that somebody has given me. And it ended up that somebody now said that he wrote it. And now I had a war and I had to spit in the guy's face at the fucking Improv. Then I had to do a movie with the guy and his bodyguard was there. It was fucking classic. So that's why I don't like it. I'd rather come up with the thought and the idea myself. You know, people pay for your point of view on something.
Yeah.
Not for somebody else's. But that's how good and tight him and his friends were, that when they do a special, boom, it would all be fucking together. How good was that Billy Corgan call the other day?
Oh, that was great.
He was great. I listened to the podcast yesterday. He blew my mind. You know, there's nothing better to talk to somebody who's informative. I'm not that informative. Maybe about three different disgusting subjects that you don't want to know about. But it's real. I really get impressed when somebody knows their turf.
Yeah.
Adam Richman from Man vs. Food.
Yeah.
Knows his turf like the back of his fucking hand. He knows New York to the dot. To the dot. You could say to him, yeah, I'm looking for a stationary store, but I'm also hungry for Chinese food. Give him a minute. He'll go, I know exactly where you're going to go. You're going to go to 138th or 83rd Street in St. Nick. There's a Chinese restaurant right next to it. There's a Kinko's. Go order Kinko's and go get an egg roll while you fucking wait. You follow me? There's people that know. Then they know the sports history. They know the restaurant history. Know the history of the city. He was not knowledgeable about Miami. I've always had, like I said, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Miami. I remember being a kid and waking up in the morning and smelling the cut of the grass and how the humidity smelled in the morning. It was completely different than New York City. Here I was in a concrete jungle, and here I'm in a fucking swamp with alligators two blocks away smelling this morning dew. It's always been, every time I smell it, I got a tear in my eye because I think about Rodolfo and I think about my cousins. And I think about the life I had then. You know, I was fucking nothing. It was simple. There was no drugs in my life. You rode your bike, you fell down. You put some fucking tincture on your knee, and you were back the next day waiting for the motherfucking ice cream man. Lee, what?
What?
What were you going to say? You ready for smoking another joint? What do you want
to
do?
I already feel this edible kicking in. But no, it was cool for me to listen to him because he's not, he's like mid-30s, I think he said. And it's,
he's fucking Jewish. He's a Jew. You got to love that shit. I love those Miami Jews. Yeah. Those Miami Jews are tougher than that, dog. They got the fucking stamp from the man, Meyer Lansky.
Yeah.
You know, that's the shit right there. And there are a lot of Germans down there, Lee. I want to talk to you. Got a little fucking pissed off last time. I ain't got nothing against Jews. Yeah, you said that. A lot of fucking Germans working behind counters and shit. Jews must be starting to get itchy.
Probably.
I'm like, did you get, anybody get to watch Inside Comedy with, God damn, Robert Schimmel?
No.
If you get a chance, watch Inside Comedy on Showtime with Robert Schimmel, or go on Hulu and get the episode with Robert Schimmel. It really, he's a Jewish guy. His parents were in the Holocaust. They were Holocaust survivors. And he tells a story about doing a set, and his father came up to him afterward. He goes, you know, I always want to be a stand-up comic. How these Jews would listen to Bill Cosby and Richard Pryor. And they were, you know, you had to go upstairs, and they would, Robert Schimmel grew up on that.
Yeah.
And he, deep down inside, his father wanted to be a stand-up. So after he shot his first HBO special, he went up to him. He goes, you know, I always want to be a stand-up comic. I never told nobody that. But I was in Auschwitz, and I married your mother and all this shit. And then somewhere along the line, I lost it. He goes, tonight I relived it. What a fucking beautiful special. I was a big Robert Schimmel fan, but I became a bigger fan. You know, Lee, did you ever hear me? I was telling somebody one day that when people come up to me and they call me, they go, you know, I've been writing. And then you go up on stage and you do a dirty joke.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not writing. Joe Diaz ain't no fucking writer. You know what I'm saying? You know, when I talk about Jews or whatever, that don't make me a writer. I don't like when somebody does a dirty joke. But I like to see somebody working clean. I fucking love it when I see somebody working clean and he's getting callbacks and he's fucking, you know, just doing material. I love all that shit, you know?
Okay.
And, in a way, it's a shame to me to do dirty material.
Really?
But it's who the fuck I am.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want me to do? You want me to be somebody I'm not, and it's never going to sell. People are going to see right through me. I want you to know what's in my heart and in my soul. But he was saying that people always say to him, they look down on dirty comics. They always say they pick the easy way. And he goes, fuck you. It's the fucking hard way. And that's how I feel. Anybody can go up there and be clean. And I like clean comedy. This is what I'm trying to say to you people. But man, when you go up there and be dirty in front of people that don't expect it and you sell it, that's a whole different situation. I got an interesting call the other day from a manager, and we were talking, and she goes, you know, when you were doing the storyteller show, I was watching you on stage, how people weren't buying you. But you didn't give a fuck. Your commitment was all that mattered. And after three more seconds, they were buying into you.
Okay.
And by the end of your set, they were all Joey Diaz fans. you ever have people that say to you, I'm scared of commitment. You know, in any aspect of life, nothing's going to really happen unless you fucking commit.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing. You know, even us. We did this, we fucking commit. So, you got to commit. this is the most important fucking thing. I forget about that every day. How nothing happens until I fucking make it happen. You follow me? You gotta commit, Lee. Yeah. Like the brownie, it's hitting me already.
It's hitting me too.
I can feel the tingles up and down my spine. How about a little music, Lee?
Oh, shit. Here we go. Let's do this one. What? What are you looking at me weird for?
I love this shit.
Oh, okay.
I love Alice in Chains. This one here destroys me. Get up, cocksuckers. Shoot that heroin. Alice in Chains. We got the reefer. We got the orange juice. We got the alpha brain. We got the jumping up and down today. It's a beautiful motherfucking day to be alive. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, I wanna be inside. Down in a hole. You're gonna be down in a fucking hole in an hour.
Oh, yeah. I'm already.
Look at you looking sharp today. There's a little green shirt on. The beard is all tight. Damn, were you walking around with the shorts on when the chick was here last night?
Yeah.
Why don't you put a robe on?
I'll have a robe.
You're gonna be a Jew, you gotta be a Jew. Put a robe on with nice fluffy sandals.
I don't have a robe.
Manicure your toes. I looked at your toes. When was the last time you cut those fucking things?
Last week.
And you got nice toes, too.
Why are you looking at my toes
five,
for?
5, 6 more years, you're going to have fungi toe like me. You got to cut that shit with a bolt. A bolt cutter. Wait till you get that fungi toe and that nail grows over the fucking toe. It's yellow, but when you get a nail cutter and you stick it in there and you pull some of that loose stuff out and you roll into a ball and sniff it. Fucking tremendous. You have no idea.
You just must spend all day just smelling different things that come out of you.
Why not? That's what it's all about. You gotta have fun. I was sniffing some earwax this morning myself and shit. You ever sniff some fucking earwax?
I probably have. You sniffed earwax?
Why not? It's on your finger. What are you gonna do with it? What are you gonna do? Put it on the cat? You can't do that. I'm a Catholic. You gotta look out for these motherfuckers. Listen, I'm gonna tell you something. I can't tell you motherfuckers enough. As you guys know, you know, we're making shit happen over here. So people call us from time to time, and they're like, hey, Joey, can you do this? And I read the fucking deals. Like when we fucking had the strawberries, Sherry's berries. We're stoners. You know, anybody who fucking has food for us, a strawberry dipped in chocolate, I got to pass it on to you. Flowers, I got to pass it on to you because I like flowers myself. But I really like Onnit. And Onnit, you know, they do what they fucking do. And they keep getting better and better, whether it's the kettlebells, whether it's these fucking, they have hemp force bars now.
They make them in bars now?
Fucking protein bars. You know what? I haven't tasted it, but I called Joe, and he says they taste fucking better than the fucking milkshake. So I called Onnit, and I had them send me like fucking 10 of them, you know what I mean?
Oh, shit.
But you know, if you go to Onnit now, they got the coconut oil to sweeten your coffee with. They got all these fucking things on it. Go to Onnit.com. Look at the webpage. The best thing you could do that they have now, the best scam you could do if you want to put the shroom tack and the alpha brain and the fucking coconut butter together is to go and look at the different packages they got. You save fucking hundreds. You save hundreds if you want to go that route. You can get like strong bone with alpha brain and maybe some hemp fucking protein. I don't know, $99 or something like that. Go to fucking Onnit. Take a look at what they got. The kettlebells, the fucking ropes. If you don't want to get none of that stuff, at least put some good shit in your fucking body. I mean, I don't blame you. You go to fucking whatever and get some ropes and hang yourself off your grandmother's fucking ledge and pull yourself up there. Do whatever the fuck it is you got to do. But at least if you're going to hang yourself, do it with alpha brain. You follow me? You know I'm fucking with you. What I want you to do is give it a shot. Go to Onnit.com. Read the fucking packages. See what they got available to you, where your shortcomings are. If you're a fat fuck, try the strong bone. It works for me. I went to kickboxing yesterday with 3 people, which meant he jumped in, which meant everybody had to fucking do 95 kicks and jump. He wanted me doing flying fucking knees. I'm 300 pounds. There's no fucking knee. It's a centrifugal force coming at you. So, you know what? I was sore. I knew I was going to be sore. I got home last night. I drank a fucking bunch of water after acupuncture, and I went yesterday morning at 10 in the morning to kickboxing.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I usually go at night, but this whole week I got fucking action at 8 o'clock. I like the 8. I can either go at 6, which is packed, and I can't get no parking because they're fixing Magnolia.
Okay.
Or if I go at 8, there's parking.
Oh, okay.
And it forces me to do something late at night. It sucks for me to work out at night, guys. Sucks. For you guys that work all day and then go home and eat and go to work out, I fucking applaud you motherfuckers. You guys that go to 8:30 at night jiu-jitsu, I fucking love you guys. If I start an army, you'd be the fucking first one in it. Nothing bothers me more than working out at night. That late?
Yeah.
But now, since I have the baby in the mornings, First thing I do, I go home, I make a few notes, I eat a little breakfast with my wife. Once she leaves to work, I put the fucking kid in the stroller, and I'm out of there. And I try to get a mile or two in the morning. If I could do that, that at least tames me down. You follow me? Get a few thoughts. She falls asleep. She gets a little sunshine. Who's the loser here?
Have you brought a boombox and put it in the bottom so you could, like, blast Led Zeppelin as you're walking down the street?
No, she gets it at the house. You don't need... When we go out, it's for refuge, not because I want to... No, man, I'm getting there in the habits to get the fuck out of the house.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Since day one. Yeah. You're not like a real big crowd person, but you also don't stay in the house that often, which is kind of interesting.
No.
Is that since, like, when your mother passed away, you had to move from house to house, and you probably couldn't stay there all the time?
No, even when I was a kid, there's nothing good happening at the house. I watch TV like everybody else. I try to watch as little TV as I can.
Yeah.
There's, you know, somebody calling?
No.
Oh, you get the fucking best of all worlds. You know, I love to sit there and watch TV all day. I love to watch three other... Oh. See what I'm saying?
Now there.
What's up, baby?
What's happening, brother? How's everything?
Everything's good here. How's the weather in Jersey?
Man, finally, I think it's starting to break, so it's starting to get a little bit warmer. It was freezing yesterday.
That's what Ari said. My buddy moved to Brooklyn. He said it was fucking freezing the last two nights.
Bro, the last two nights, probably like 38,
36. Man, I'll be there this weekend. How cold is it going to be?
I think it's going to be pretty good, man. Egan's coming out, too, from California.
Yeah, a lot of people are coming back for the fucking fights. I'm going to the fights. I think Joe called the other day. He goes, hey, I can't get you no tickets for the fight because Henzo's going with John Rollo.
Right. So
I think I'm sitting with those savages, with Henzo, John Rollo, and their girlfriends, and one of Rollo's students from Connecticut or something is coming down. So that's who I'm sitting with at the fight.
Then you're going to be straight.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. How you doing, Papa? This is Julio Rodriguez on the phone. You know, guys, as much as fucking family. What do I know? You're 40 years for sure now?
Yeah, maybe a little bit more, I guess.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people, you know, I was telling Julio yesterday, we were talking. Julio grew up, we grew up together. He taught me how to play hoops. He's Puerto Rican. For all you motherfuckers, I always goof on the 5th of the month to get the Puerto Rican. See, I got the power to goof on Puerto Ricans because we're fucking Cubans. Cubans, Puerto Ricans, same shit, a different smell. But I grew up with my man. I slept at his fucking house. And what's up, Papa? What's going on in your world?
Man, everything's going well. I'm getting ready to go to Mexico for this reality TV show for fighting. So, you know, we'll see what's going on down there in Mexico.
So what is the show you're doing?
I'm doing Duelo de Gigantes MMA. It's going to be an American team of fighters against a Mexican team of fighters, like a UFC Mexico type deal. You know, $100,000 grand prize for the winner. So, you know, I'm glad I'm going to be the head coach of the American team. Got some fighters from Greg Jackson's camp, Mike Constantino's camp, some guys from the Rhino fight team. So some good, decent talent. We hope the Mexican guys bring it when we get down there.
How'd you get involved with this?
Actually, by my attorney, who's also my student, heard about it, submitted my name, and I got in.
Now, how long have you been involved with martial arts, Julio?
Oh, martial arts since I was 8 years old. That's, 48 years now.
Now, where did you go at first? Because when I knew you, you were involved with it, and I was involved with it. I was going to Wayne Norlander on New York Avenue.
Kevin Norlander. You were going to Kevin. So was I.
Kevin Norlander. I went to Kevin Norlander on Union City, Gushin Ryu Karate. That's where I started, in Jersey.
Yeah, USA Goju Karate. Peter Urban was our grandmaster.
Yeah. Is Wayne Norlander still around? Was that his name, Wayne Norlander or Kevin Norlander?
No, his name was Kevin Norlander. Yeah, he's a tattoo artist, pretty hot tattoo artist now in Secaucus. So he's doing, you know, the last time I saw him, he was doing pretty well. I haven't seen him in like 3-4 years, but, you know, I think he's doing pretty well. He's doing murals. You know, he was very artistic.
And then I used to go to Fujiao Pai Kung Fu on top of the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, Sifu Paul Vizio.
And we used to, there used to be a bunch of us that from Union City that used to go to a basement on New York Avenue on like 22nd Street. We beat the fuck out of each other. And then we go back.
Tony Medina's house.
Yeah. And then we go back to my mother's house, my mother's bar, and drink sodas at the bar and shit. And that was our big.
Exactly.
We were all.
Yeah, man, those were good times back then.
Yeah, man.
It's a crazy stuff, but it's great times.
You know, we were talking yesterday how we grew up in the numbers business.
All the best.
You know,
you want it to an office, it'll be about 10 phones set up. 10 guys taking numbers all day long.
And we both had another official uncle that would take us into the city on Sunday, on Saturdays, and we'd have to, me, you, and your brother, Guillo, yeah. God bless his soul. And we'd go into the buildings, and we'd have to run errands and go pick up money. I remember being like fucking 10 and having $900 in my pocket and thinking to myself, somebody's going to fucking kill me in the Bronx, but nobody would touch us because they knew who the fuck we were with.
It'd be bad news for everybody.
You know, he rehired me again. I mean, that family took great care of me as a child. He rehired me again after my mother died. You know, for a little while, I used to just go to Harlem and on 118th and Lexington. Oh, it was 116th around there by La Maqueta in Harlem.
Right on the corner in that basement little store. There was never, you know, it was a candy store, but there was never no candy.
There was a book of dreams, because if you had a dream about a horse, you could look at this book and it would tell you what number it was.
Yeah, all kinds. That book of La Paloma was 24. Pigeon was 24. That is crazy stuff.
And, we grew up in a weird thing, but I still remember living in your house with you, because what happened was I used to be scared of sleeping in my house because there were spirits in the fucking house.
Right.
So Eva told me I'd go live with her. So I would go to my mother's, and this is probably the sixth grade. I mean, I was fucking young. It was when I first got thrown out of Sacred Heart School for Boys with Jamie Exhart and those guys. This was...
Jamie Exhart.
So this was...
We used to go to St. Michael's Monastery and just play basketball all day, hang out, play manhunt, all that kind of good stuff we used to do.
Yeah, as kid, and I ended up playing for St. Michael's CYO with Steve Ricciardi, with all those motherfuckers, with the kid from the Green Bay Packers. But
Frankie Winters.
I mean, that was...
Frank McGovern was my coach too. Him and Paul Sebastian.
Yeah. Oh my God. We I used to have. You know who else? Let me tell you something. I mean, we're really related in a lot of ways, and it's so weird that we were tight, and then we both became teenagers. You're a little older, and then I went to North Bergen. You went to Emerson, or wherever the fuck you went, Union Hill.
And
then my mother died, and then we lost contact, and then you started hooking around with my stepdad. Describe my stepdad to me. I always try to, on the Duncan Trussell podcast and in different stories, I've tried to describe Juan to these people. In your best description, how can you describe Juan?
Man, original gangster. I really don't need to say much more. He was, as much as he was a good guy, he was just, he could have been a bad, bad dude. You didn't want to mess with him. You didn't want to fuck with him at all.
You know, I remember after my mother died, I lived with a family, and he was a cop, Bobby Bender, North Bergen.
Yeah.
And this had to be 1980, Julio. Maybe you remember the story. Something happened to Juan on 52nd Street or 57th Street, and two kids tried to attack him. And he was, at this time, he was 50-something years old. Juan was old when my mother died. He was 50-something years old. And supposedly somebody attacked him. He took the gun from somebody. He shot the one guy or something. Do you remember what they were talking about? I know he had the problem in New York with the body in the car when he took him over the Lincoln Tunnel. But I know as a kid, when I was 8 at a Santeria party on 148th Street, I seen him shoot this guy named Nico in the fucking leg for just talking to him. I seen him, bro. He warned the guy, and he just shot him in the fucking leg. And that's when I realized the strength of that. I fell in love with him after that. That was my stepfather to the end. You know, I tell people, when I used to see spirits at night, he would come upstairs to the attic and give me a gun with a silencer on it.
He was crazy. I remember the story, but I don't know the background to the story. I think somebody knew he was a little tipsy. Somebody tried to mug him, and he popped one of the dudes that tried to mug him. I think the kid was like 17 years old, 18. But he popped him. I don't think he killed the kid. And then the other guy went running.
Something happened because Bobby Bender woke me up in the middle of the night. He goes, "They got your father down at the police station, asking him questions or something like that." We were talking about Santeria, how we grew up around Santeria, especially with our godmother Eva, God bless her soul. I didn't know she was dead. Like I said, last time I was home, I went over there and talked to her, and you could see she was a little standoffish because Eva had a certain thing that she could see your aura, you know, and I love her children and stuff. I mean, it's just amazing.
Wow, she was probably one of the toughest being a woman, probably one of the toughest men I know, because she didn't take shit from nobody. But in reality, she was a very gifted, a spiritual person.
I seen her do. You know, I didn't believe in Santeria for a long time when I was a kid. And I seen her do some shit that after that I believed in that there was something there. When you had a conversation with her, when you see her spirit come down, after that you believe that there was something out there. Like, that's why to me...
There's something out there.
She was money. She was fucking money. And Lee, in the room with me is the producer, Lee Syatt, the Flying Jew. Say hello, Julio.
Hey, Julio, it's Lee.
You guys met when we were in Jersey.
I met you a couple years ago, dude.
When you were doing the documentary in Jersey. Man. Yeah. And it's funny that we were talking about another guy that was family to me also, because I brought this guy up the other day in a conversation with Billy Corbin. We were talking about Miami and the brutality of the murders, what had happened when the Cubans got there. And I told him the story about the guy we knew, Tati, who was Andres Garcia, and he had a brother, Monchi, that was a drug dealer in Miami, but he had done it for years with no problem. And all of a sudden, the refugees came over in 79, and they fucking killed him. They ran over him with a car. They ran over his fucking head with a car or some shit. But I think about that guy, Tati, from time to time. And I told you a story yesterday that when I was about 10 or 11, I used to have this skinny girlfriend, Nikki. And he saw her one day. And one day, he gave me a fucking little container that had cocaine in it. And I go, what the fuck is this? And he goes, listen, next time that skinny chick comes over, put this in her pussy and eat her pussy. I was like 11. And I put it in my drawer, and I saved it there for like a year. And one day my mom comes, and she's like, isn't it true that he gave you something? And I go, yeah. She's like, give me what he fucking gave you. How long have you had it for? I had that coke for a year in a little capsule.
That sounds like Tati. Tati was a bad man. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you how many bodies he's got.
It was, you know, man, I try to tell people the experiences we had growing up, and some of them I put under a carpet, but other ones, and even your brother, look at your brother, he's not with us anymore, you know?
Right.
And you and I both know that something helped us, because we're not supposed to be here. You know for sure I'm not supposed to be here. I was telling you last night that one of the last times I seen you, when you were a cop at that time, I walked into the spot. It was June 30th, 1985. And I just got some money from a settlement. I did one of those suits where you sue somebody with the Jews. And I had to leave because they were going to kill me. And I knew this. I knew that I had the doors closing in. And I went and I saw this girl, Regina Gordon, and she pulled me aside and she goes, these people you robbed who were big time in North Bergen, they know you did it and they know who you did it with. And they're going to come looking for you. And then I bumped into you and you said, hey, bro, you should be leaving this town because somebody's looking to fucking kill you or something like that. And I couldn't believe you said it to me because I had known you all those years as a kid, you know?
Right.
And
You know, you're family, so I got to give you a heads up. You know, I just can't not see nothing, you hang out, and then, that'd be on me. You know, I didn't want you to get hurt.
It's funny because when you told me, you were angry with me in a way. Like, it was like I had done something that somebody had came to you with or something, and you were angry or... And I never forget that. I was very hurt by it. You know, I didn't know what I had done because we had grown up together. We were kids.
Right. Well, I'm still not going to let nobody get at you. You know, I might have been pissed off at you or whatever. For whatever it may have been, I really don't remember. But, you know, anytime I've come out to L.A., I call you, do whatever, you know, and you're always there for me. So, you know, I'm always here for you.
Man, thank you, bro. And, you know, I'm proud of you. You know, we grew up in Union City, but I see you working at the high school in North Bergen, and I know you do security at the high school, and I know that, you know, your main focus in all the pictures I watch is you working with kids and helping out kids. And, man, you know what? That's my instinct, too. Like, right now, if I could, I quit doing comedy. I wish I could inherit, like, $10 million so I could fucking go work at a center and just help kids. And just talk to kids,
helping,
man.
Helping kids is a great thing, bro. I mean, you know, if I can turn one life around, hey, you know, our service to others, you know, is our life here on earth. I mean, I teach people how to kick each other's ass and stuff like that and choke people out. But, you know, if I can get one kid off the street and just train with me and make his life a little bit more productive or better, I did my thing, you know?
What are you doing this weekend? You going to be around?
Yeah, I'm gonna try and see you on Saturday, but Sunday I'll be leaving for Nayarit, Mexico, for the TV show, for the reality. reality show.
Well, what I'm going to do is this. I fly in Thursday or Friday morning. I don't know if I have tickets for the comedy show, but I'll see you Saturday. Maybe a chance dragging in. I'll meet you for lunch at 12:30. I have Lube pick me up.
I think maybe I'll shoot over there with Higgin Machado. I know Higgin Machado is going to be here. I got to attend the seminar with Higgin, Marco Santos, Daniel Gracie. So we'll be doing a seminar in Guerrero Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Caldwell, New Jersey.
Brother, I love you, man. Now, where's your school at? Where's your thing going at?
Well, I have a school in Wayne, New Jersey called White Tiger MMA. And I have a school in West New York, New Jersey called Black Belt Academy.
Nothing in North Bergen, nothing in Hudson County?
No, well, West New York, Hudson County, bro, you forgot?
Oh, West New York. I thought you said Westfield. I'm sorry.
No, West New York.
I'm like, what the fuck's he doing out in Westfield?
I'm going to open up another school in town, which will be my main headquarters, and I'm going to try and have all my students come there, or, you know, at least the instructors from the other schools come train with me instead of me do all this traveling, you know?
Well, brother, say hello to North Bergen. I love you to death, and thank you for calling in and taking the time. I want to have you on again.
I'll see you on Saturday. We'll have a drink together.
All right, brother. Much love. Stay black and beautiful.
All right, bye.
Thank you, Papa.
God bless. Later.
It's funny because I didn't really want to go on a lot of protests this morning with this guy.
Okay.
I didn't really want to scare people off that much. We're going to work him in little by little. You know, the lady that we talk about is the lady who broke that dish when that undercover cop was bothering my mother for a long
Your
time.
Your Santeria godmother.
Lady. Yeah, this is, and we were talking about it yesterday. Just talking to him makes me want to cry.
Really?
Yeah, because I knew him on that other side of my life. I knew him when my life was easy, when I was a kid. I knew him when my mother had a bar, when we go to my mother's bar and have soda. His brother was a tough motherfucker. And his brother beat me up a few times and taught me. You know, he taught me, bro. You know, that's the way. And my mother knew that the kid had smacked me around a little bit. His brother was the original street kid. Like, hey, you know those kids you see in movies that are dirty, but they go home at night and they got like $55 and they put money away because the mother's sick? That was Guillo. Guillo ran that house when he was 11 or 12.
Wow.
I'm telling you this from experience. The mother was always kind of sick. She had a boyfriend that had beat her something one time. Fucking Guillo almost threw the kid out the window. Guillo didn't take shit. Guillo was one of the best things that happened to me at that age. I was a little soft, and he grabbed me, and he fucking touched. Like they said, he used to take me to the monastery to play basketball. I was from North Bergen. I was a white kid from North Bergen. This monastery with these Puerto Ricans, they jumped through the fucking air, and they drove, and they had beards at 11 and shit, you know. So I'm happy that, you know, and I was angry with him for a long time, Julio, because I thought he had turned on me with my stepfather. He knew my stepfather wanted to shoot me. These guys knew, man. I tell you like a brother. If I would have, tomorrow is the 30th anniversary that I left North Bergen, New Jersey the first time.
Oh, shit.
And it's tomorrow with Jimmy Burkle, who died on Easter Sunday. So tomorrow's going to be a hard day for me. I'm going to be fucking ubats, whatever. But it was 30 days. But 30 years ago yesterday, I found out I could do anything because I left North Bergen. Mm-hmm. Just leaving North Bergen. Just leaving. You know those people from Boston that don't ever leave?
Yeah.
You go back and they get old and they tell you about the neighborhood and the supermarket, how they out of the meat counter now. You know, and you're supposed to fucking jump out of your skin. That's it.
So, like, listening to this story, explain why you were mad, because it sounded to me like he did you a favor.
The truth of the matter is, my mother knew their mother, and everybody was friends. And when my mother died, I didn't see him. So the next time I see him, he was working for my stepfather. He was helping my stepfather with different things. He was a cop. You know?
Okay.
And I had fucked over my stepfather and his nephew with coke. Not my stepfather. My stepfather wasn't involved in drugs. Me and him were at a different war. He had all these problems at the time, and he wanted me to sign a paper that there was no will in my. And meanwhile, I'm walking the fucking streets broke. So I told him, I said, either you give me fucking money or I ain't signing shit.
Yeah.
And he came to me, he's like, well, I'll buy you a car, but you got to make the payments. That's not buying me a car. That's putting a down payment down. I need money. I wanted to get ahead. And meanwhile, if I would have taken that money, I would have blown it in 3 days on blow and wasted my life.
Yeah.
You know? So I got mad at him for helping me and that. So now I go to this bar. I got money in my pocket. First, this girl tells me. I'm not kidding you. This fucking girl. Now, this was when I left in April. Nobody had told me to leave. I knew shit was going to go down.
Okay.
But I came back a year later and stuck around for another year. And that time, they were going to kill me. At that time, I got a lot of fucking people's nerves. I had Gary Long mad at me. I had some fucking Italian guys mad at me. I had nine guys mad at me. Out of nine guys, somebody's going to put a bullet in me one night. Somebody's going to walk into a bar. They're going to see me in Union City or in West New York having a beer, excuse me. They're going to call whoever the fuck they know. And they're going to go, well, guess who's at the bar in Weehawken? You know, I'm from North Bergen, but Weehawken is like a suburb.
Yeah.
It's like if I went to Culver City to drink.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Lee, I can't drink in Hollywood. People are looking for me. Let's go to fucking Compton and have a drink. Well, here I am in a bar with a bunch of brothers listening to the OJs. And next thing you know, one black guy walks in that knows that somebody's looking for him.
Yeah.
He owes you $800. Fuck, that dude dog is here. Let me cap this motherfucker and the $800's off my tab. Shit like that. These people are fucking crazy. So I always knew in 85, in fact, I wasn't living in North Bergen. I left North Bergen in December of 84. I was hiding out in Creskill, New Jersey. But I kept getting closer and closer. By this time, I was in Fort Lee, New Jersey, which is a smack to their faces. And I knew what buses to take, and I knew what angles to take, and what to stay off of. But they knew I was around.
Okay.
So they were looking. They knew eventually, when you're looking for somebody, don't look for them. They're going to have to come back, and one of their friends is going to rat you out eventually. You're going to have to come back.
Yeah.
So they all knew that time was on their side. So I started coming around like in May to fuck with them. Once I knew I was getting the 18 grand from the settlement, I started making little appearances in North Bergen. I started doing some credit card shit and selling it, and now people fucking knew. This kid's still around. We thought he was in Colorado, because by me going to Colorado, it made them think that I was somewhere else when they were looking for me.
Okay.
But all of a sudden, hell breaks loose. I do this bad shit. Living in Creskill, hiding, I fucking come out and I call my buddy, because there was this bitch that I hated her and her fucking husband. I hated them. Her and her boyfriend, they were drug dealers. I hated them. So I figured that even though I had the money from the settlement, and even though I had money in my pocket from doing the gas stations, whatever the fuck I was doing, because in 85 I was doing 1,000 things on my own, I was going to rob this bitch to add insult to injury.
Okay.
So I called two of my buddies. We got in the fucking car, and we went down there. I had a gun. My other buddy and the other buddy went up. One of my buddies went up, and me and my other buddy stayed looking down. He climbed in. That's the story I tell about the cat attacking him. That's that story.
Okay.
So he got attacked by the cat. We didn't kill the cat or nothing. We just took the jewelry and the blow. We got in the car and we left. When we did that, it was at 10 in the morning. The building was, nobody could see us. Where he, trust me, I had done this 1,000 times in my life. I knew there was nobody out. There was no recession then. Everybody was working. Nobody was home. And I was in a part of the building where nobody could see me. And even if somebody would see me, the way I was looking, the way I was acting like I was walking a dog. So there was a little thing in there. So you couldn't tell. Even if they just drove by for a minute and go, what's this guy doing? I'd be in the bushes right there walking a dog. There was a little parkway there.
Okay.
Nobody showed up. It took us 8 minutes to do this burglary. We got in the fucking car. We went up to the pawn shop, sold it, chopped it up, took the blow. And, you know, these guys are my Goombas. We celebrated. But this was done like in April. After about 2 or 3 weeks, we heard nothing. So I didn't know. So by May, I didn't hear nothing. So they thought it was a write-off. They wrote it off. I get this money. I go into this bar in Union City called The Spot on 22nd all the way down there. This cool little funky. The bartender was my buddy Mike Ascalise's uncle.
Oh, okay.
So I went with George, Mike Ascalise. This is June 30th of 1985. I walk into this bar with money in my pocket thinking I owe the world. I know I'm getting on a fucking plane Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew this. It's Saturday, 11 o'clock. But I know tomorrow I'm on a plane, and they're not going to kill me tonight. There's no way I'm getting killed tonight. I had a piece on me. You know, the other two guys didn't even know I was carrying a gun. I was putting them in a bad position by being with them. But at this time in my life, in 1985, I was 23. I didn't care about the people around me as much as I care about them now. I was a little bit crazier. I just thought if I was with Mike, nobody would shoot me because his father knew a lot of people.
Okay.
So I walk into this fucking thing and I see this girl. She comes over to me, Regina Gordon, who I had known for years, who's my ace, and she pulls me aside and she goes, what were you thinking when you robbed those people? And it was like you pulling me aside. I tried to play that stupid game, like, what are you talking about? She's like, you gonna fuck with me now? They know it's you. They know it's you. In fact, this is who you were with. Bap and bap. You were with Mike Ronnie and Glenn Conti. And that's when it ended. I knew she had me. And I go, who told you this? And she goes, they did. They knew. Somebody had a camera. Somebody fucking saw you. Something happened. So don't be surprised if you see the fucking husband with a gun. So there I go, come on, seriously? She goes, yeah. And they know people in the police force in North Bergen. So North Bergen police could pull you over and hand you to them or give you a beating for them. So you got a fucking problem. So this is Sunday night, 11 o'clock. I'm paranoid as this. I'm smoking pot. I'm not doing coke then. I'm not drinking then.
Okay.
I'm probably drinking soda at the bar. Now I walk back to the bar with this bad news in my ear. And I look over to the other side of the bar and who do I see but Julio in a police uniform. Talking to another cop. That's my cousin. I grew up with this motherfucker. I walk over, I give him a hug. He kind of gives me like a straight off hug. And then all of a sudden he says to me, hey, you know people are looking to fucking kill you, right? And he was dead serious. And I'm trying to giggle like, bro, you would... He's like, I'm telling you, people are looking to fucking kill you. At that time, I had destroyed West New York with fronts and give me an ounce of blow, I'll be back in 10 minutes. You know my mother. All these people got together and said, this guy's got to make an example out of. I didn't know if it was going to be my stepfather. I knew my godfather was after me like a motherfucker.
The guy on the motorcycle.
The guy on the motorcycle. He was relentless. He was relentless. So I knew eventually something was going to go down.
Okay.
You know, so that night, once they told me, I told my friends, we got to get the fuck out of here. And I never went back for six fucking years.
Okay, but just why were you so upset at him? Because, I know you grew up together, but it seems like he did you solid.
Because in my heart, I felt he had crossed over to the enemy.
For helping your stepdad out?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I thought in my heart. That's how my insecure head worked.
That's a big thing. You have a...
And it took me 27 years to get over it.
Really?
Yeah.
So just recently then?
Yeah.
Holy shit. So that's it. Like we talked earlier about you with friends, and it's loyalty's a big thing to you. And
which... you know, I'm from Jersey. You know what mean from Jersey means? You're what? Loyal and you're stupid and you're loyal. You know, you're stupid and you're loyal. When you watch all those Jersey videos or anything, we're stupid. We're not fucking Phi Beta Kappas. But our stupidity means it takes over our loyalty. I don't mean people from Jersey are stupid. What I'm saying is we're so loyal, it's stupid. That's what I mean to say. We're so loyal. We're so fucking loyal. Even though we see those idiots on that shore. What is it? What's the shore?
Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore show. We still claim to be from Jersey. Where other people would bail. They go, I'm from Philadelphia. I'm from fucking Pennsylvania. You know what I'm saying? I mean, other people would bail.
Yeah.
I'm proud to be from fucking Jersey. I'm proud to have Sinatra in my fucking bloodline. I'm proud to have Queen Latifah and OPP. I'm proud to have Heisman. I'm proud to have, you know, Michael Corrin and Dan Calandrillo. But our loyalty is all you fucking have sometimes. You have to be loyal to the people that give you light. How the fuck can't you not? How the fuck can't you not? Be loyal to people who give you light. You know who gives you light. You know who's out there chucking and fucking jiving. You know what I'm saying? When people give you light, you gotta give them everything you fucking got in this world. You gonna get me all fired up now?
Yeah.
A little fucking... A little music for these motherfuckers on Friday. What is it? Wednesday, Friday? I don't even fucking know no more. It's Wednesday. Get up. April 24th. It's a beautiful day to be alive, motherfuckers. Where's the music, Lee?
I'm waiting for you to finish talking.
Hit it. Fuck me talking. Who gives a shit? Nobody listens to this shit. I love this jam. Ever since I listened to this jam, my daughter that day in her in my arms, I'm like, God, I'm still alive, motherfucker. Even though we're whipping post. Oh, shit. Crank that, Lee. Oh, shit. Wiggle for Uncle Joey, Lee. And where's the setup today? The push-up?
This edible.
Where's the jumping jack? Do a jumping jack.
Fuck Uncle you. Joey. You're just,
do a jumping
this
jack.
This edible can really talk. Fuck you.
Oh, stop it. Hit it, Lee. Oh, shit. We're almost on the hour. Get up. Watch that pussy. It's a beautiful motherfucking day. Spend all my money. There you go, Lee. Oh, shit. Break out the yarmulkes. It's a Jewy fucking Wednesday. Time. To a whipping ball. Are you kidding me or what? Dropping it. Are you fucking kidding me or what? Turn that shit off. I'm about to go home and shoot some fucking Chinese heroin. You think Chris Brown can sound that fucking sincere? Not one fucking motherfucker today can sound that sincere in his fucking music like that.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is right. We ain't got time to fucking around. That's what this podcast does. Makes you look through all the fucking bullshit. And listen, that dude was fucking, "Oh Lord, I feel like I'm dying." Are you kidding me or what? He was feeling it, Lee.
That's pretty intense for a white guy to say.
Bro, I'm telling you, these motherfuckers weren't even white. They were supernatural white. They ate Wonder Bread with macaroni and cheese in the middle. And I loved it, with dirty feet. They didn't give a fuck about showers. But look what they fucking produced. It doesn't matter. That's what they fucking came up with. These guys today got the backwards hat and the two earrings and the fucking warm-up suit, and they can't sing for shit. If it's not an organ fucking helping you or some bullshit guy writing for you, that was pure 6'8" guys, white, heroin, booze. The Allman Brothers, you fucking nuts. Get up, do some heroin, do something if you're just going to lay there and watch fucking TV, you cocksuckers. What's up, dog? I gotta give shout outs today. I'm emotional. You know what I'm saying? I'm emotional today. I wanna give a shout out to my main man, Jesus Segura. He's been juicing. He lost 140 fucking pounds.
Oh, congrats, buddy.
You don't congratulate. You think he cried? What? I don't feel good. I can't do. No, he's fucking. You were sitting here last night, I heard, eating fucking McDonald's, cocksucker.
Fuck you.
Andy Rogers. Death Squad New Jersey. Death Squad Grand Rapids. Death Squad Harlem. Death Squad as a motherfucking whole. I love you, cocksuckers. Keep doing what you're doing, spreading the word, giving light. Pick up a fucking piece of paper, you know what I'm saying? That's what Death Squad's all about. And Matthew Brothers, North Carolina Death Squad, cool motherfuckers. Jason fucking motherfucking Kaysen. And that's it, dog. Don't forget, you know, I think I got coffee too.
Oh, bulletproof coffee,
fucking
right?
Fucking tremendous. I got a bag of it, and I never opened. I forgot I had it. I put it in the thing. I got all those little cups with that new machine. Finally, I had my wife on Sunday. I go, "Look at this fucking bag of shit here." So she said, told me how to teach it and thing and put it. Wow.
Oh, that's good.
That's why I'm fired up today, probably. Good googly moogly. Put that coffee on that fucking list, too. Mix it with some Alpha Brain. Jerk off in a chick's face and smoke a joint. You'll be fucking off and running, motherfuckers.
That's quite a recipe.
What the? That's quite a recipe. You cocksucker. Fuck you. You better get it together. You've been slipping lately.
Give me that fucking edible and
make fun of me. You didn't send the fucking guy the CD. It took you a month to get the camera going. You went to Vegas. You almost had to blow some. I heard you almost had to blow a Bolivian guy in the airport to get home. You better get your shit together.
I'm going to go to sleep now.
You ain't going to sleep. It's over. We're going to go up and do a jumping jack for the people.
Fuck you. I can't
stand. One jumping jack, Lee. You know the deal.
I'll do it
for me. Nah, you got to do it right now. You want me to do it first? I'll do a jumping jack. That will piss me the fuck off. As high as I am. I do like 15 of these motherfuckers with the people downstairs. Yeah, do your jumping jack for the daily. I don't want to hear no shit. Come on.
Fuck you. Gotta
do a jumping jack. I just did a jumping jack, didn't I?
No.
And I ate 90% of that brownie than you did, so I don't want to hear it.
90%
I'll go over and stab you with this fucking e-cigarette in the fucking jugular. Look at this fucking mort. Yeah, do the jumping jack, Lee. Look at it. You gotta see it. Look, he's giggling and shit. You gotta do more jumping jacks, Lee, okay?
I'm stoned.
By the end of the month, you're gonna be doing 80 jumping jacks here.
I could do 80 jumping jacks.
You couldn't fucking do 80 jump. Your ankle would break.
How much will you give me to do 80?
What's that?
Give me 10,000. I'll do 80.
I'll let
right
the shark fart in your face. Only 60%. Let me tell you something. I'm picking up Bert Kreischer at 7:45, and we're going up and doing this live podcast tonight. This is one of Lee's fucking inventions tonight. Well, get Bert Kreischer. You and him are always good together, so. Runs this fucking shit, for you people don't know. He's a creative fucking force here. So we're doing a live podcast. It's going to be like a Death Squad festival tonight at the Ice House. I don't give a fuck where you're at tonight. Come from all points, south, north. Get in your fucking car right now. As soon as you hear this, hang up the fucking phone. Put it in your iPod. Get in the fucking car and head. I'm telling you, there's gonna be, I got an email this morning. Some guy showing up with 8 pounds of weed.
Oh, shit.
He's just going to light up joints outside the fucking lot. We're going to get fucking... It's going to be like a Woodstock for Reefer tonight. Make sure you're there. Two shows, 8:30. I'm in the small room. 10:30, Rogan, Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer, Jesus fucking Joseph and Mary on the drums. John Lennon's coming. Everybody's showing the fuck up. Make sure you're there. Where else am I going? I don't even know.
You're going to Texas?
Oh, shit. Let me tell you something. I'm going to Texas. You know what my asshole's going to smell like after 2 days between Chewy's and the fucking barbecue in Austin? You have no idea. Like you have no idea. I'm going to get that Elvis chicken. I'm going to get everything at fucking Chewy's. I'll be down there from the 2nd of May to the 5th of May. There's only 5 shows. Don't fuck around. Then the following week, me and the other Jew, my best friend fucking Jew, Ari Shafir, we're going to be at Stand Up Live in Phoenix. Get your tickets online. Listen, people, it's going to be a great fucking summer. I'm going to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, shit.
Fucking August 15th, that week when the Super Bowl, when the UFC is in Boston.
Oh, okay.
Remember I told you that they all, bam, I'm going to I think it's Dr. Grin's. I can't wait to go to fucking Michigan, listen to some good radio, see some real fucking dirty white women. Michigan got the best dirty white women. I think Jenny Friedman and her Jew pussy are from fucking Michigan.
I think you said that about every fucking state.
What's that?
Whatever state you're going to, they got the dirtiest white women.
Oh, I love them. I love them. I love dirty white women with freckles and a little dirt on their heel. Forget about
freckles?
Their asshole smells like gunpowder. It's a party, lady. You follow me?
I don't follow you. I don't want to smell anyone's asshole.
I come here this morning, the girl's on the couch. She left, Lee didn't do nothing again. He folded at the fucking seams. That's why I'm mad at this kid. I gotta straighten you the fuck out.
I'm not gonna fucking... I had a girl
cheat. You know what I feel like? I feel like that guy in fucking Goodfellas. When you help the kid when he's bleeding, and all of a sudden I look at you and I go, 9 fucking towels to help that guy. That's what I feel like every time I see you. Why? I gotta keep grinding you full. You're slipping.
I had a girl cheat on me. I'm not gonna... The girl's great. I'm not
Who cheated on you?
When I was
the black one?
No.
Which
no.
one?
A couple before that.
You know why she cheated on you?
Why?
Because you don't eat ass. You don't want to finger bang him
well,
and sniff
good.
Your
I don't
finger.
Want, I don't want to you go don't want the ones to eat her ass.
You don't want to rub their feet with Bengay. You don't want to stick a needle in their heel. You know, you don't want to grab them by the hair and tell them to fucking who's the 18th president.
You were, we were having coffee and you were trying to break that down for me. You got to fucking... I'm pulling a girl's hair, punching them in the face, making them puke up their own, like, swallow your jizz, punch them so they puke it up, and then swallow it again. It would make me fucking, I would freak out. I can't punch a girl in the face.
I didn't say to punch him in the face.
Yes, you did.
No, I said karate chop in the neck. Just a little fucking Kwan Su in the fucking throat. Why you give him, you pick him up through the hoof and the monkey? What's the problem here, Lee? What we gotta do?
Because I don't want to lick a girl's asshole. Why? I just want to stay away from the asshole. There's so much else I could do.
Lee, either you lick it or you don't, or somebody else will. Or you're gonna be giving away your fucking every 3 years. You're gonna be giving away a new computer because some chicks gonna go, Lee's cute, I like him, but he won't fucking stick his elbow in my ass. He won't punish that fucking monkey. You know, you gotta get it together. I ain't gonna talk about this no more because you just disappoint me. You're gonna end up at McDonald's at the drive-thru window.
I haven't been to one fucking McDonald's.
Don't fucking
fuck
lie
you.
To me, cocksucker.
Somebody wanna go through my trash?
Somebody said, no, bro, I know you're a professional eater. You probably throw it away and burn it like a fucking, like OJ's fucking suit. You know what I'm saying? You probably pull over, burn it, clean all the fibers in your car, and make sure there's no fucking salt packages from McDonald's and shit. I guarantee there's a ketchup in your car from McDonald's from the old days.
No?
You just keep it there to sniff it. Just to sniff it like when you finger a woman and you fucking don't wash your hands. That's what you do, you little nasty motherfucker, don't you?
I ought to keep a ketchup packet. I'd keep like a wrapper from the cheeseburger.
Well, I know that. That's what you just gave yourself up. I know there's a wrapper from a cheeseburger hidden under the seat. And as you're driving on the 405 sometimes and you feel depressed about yourself, you smell that wrapper. And you're like, should I crash the car into the fucking gate right now and take out all these Arabs? Should I fucking leave? Who the fuck? What am I talking about here?
I have no idea.
Why do you get me on this shit? I tell you don't give me edibles in the morning. What do? You encourage me. Let me tell you what really happened with this edible.
What happened?
All right, so I had to do some shit. Oh, I went to kickboxing. I got home. I took my wife to lunch. We had to make some missions. I had to go to church and get the baptism. I had to do 1,000 things yesterday with my wife. And I stopped at the weed store, and I got one of those Chibo chews.
Okay.
The whole fucking dose. Four of them. Jesus. I popped that about 3 o'clock. By 8, I was on fire. I went down to the whatever. I came back, and I was looking for this thing. I got one of these, too. The owner said, take one of these. I couldn't find it, Lee. And for the life of me, I kept thinking that I ate it already. Like, that's it. I got to go to a therapy. You know what I'm saying? I'm eating edibles, and I'm forgetting I'm eating edibles. And I couldn't fucking find it. I was pissed last night. Pissed. Furious pissed. Couldn't fucking find it. I said, all right, that's it. And this morning, as I was leaving, I looked over, and there it was on the floor, laying there, like a $20 bill at the fucking train station. I picked that motherfucker up. I go, Lee is going down, bitches. Ugh. As soon as I seen it, that's all I thought about, how Lee was going down.
Jesus Christ.
What's going on from Boston? What are you hearing, brother?
Oh, everyone's doing great. They're opening Boylston Street up today, like the area. But all, I hope everyone in the Midwest is okay. Did you see that this morning? Fucking St. Louis is like underwater. Like what the
happened?
Midwest.
What happened?
Like the Mississippi River is rising because of like the snow is melting.
Yeah. Colorado got another foot 2 days ago.
Jesus. Yeah, and like I turned on CNN just because I want to see stuff about the Boston thing. And it's like St. Louis is like underwater and it's fucking.
I got to call my buddy Joey Boom Boom Filato, make sure he's doing okay. It's always something lately. Every fuck. What happened to the Koreans? They went away?
No, they're probably going to do it now since we're not paying attention to them.
No, that's what they want. They're not paying attention to them, so now there's nowhere to go. They got nowhere to... Fuck you, but we're not... So we got enough problems here.
I know you're going to tell me, you know, what's the questions, but every time something like this happens, there's always the conspiracy theorists, like, the government did it, and they're putting these kids up. I think these guys did it. It seems like they did. But, like, whenever the conspiracy theories come up, you, like, have a thought, the second one, like, could the government do it? And I know the government does shady shit, but stuff like this, I mean, do you think that, like, they're fucking faking it?
Listen, I don't know what to think anymore.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the 8-year-old child, and I feel bad for the people that are still in the hospital a week later. I feel bad for the people from Boston. That's where my focus is, you know, when this shit happens. I could sit there with you and read what's on Twitter, that the two kids and the... Listen, I don't give a fuck what the government does. When it involves young lives, that's what it destroys us as human beings. You're destroying things.
Yeah.
I hope in my heart, this isn't some government conspiracy or something.
Yeah.
I hope in everything that I believe in, you know, everything that I believe in, I hope that this is just people being assholes. That's it. People losing control. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what my focus is. You know, nobody needs to bury an 8-year-old child.
No, that's terrible.
Nobody. Nobody needs to bury 24 children in a fucking grammar school and teachers. That's absurd. That's the beginning of a life for us. Once you break that down, what's next? I can't go to school because my kid's going to get shot.
Yeah.
I can't feel, you know, I can't even go to a fucking race now. So, as an American brother, you know, this is the best fucking country in the world. Always will, always has been. We'll figure it out. You know, but now, like I told last week, and people fucking tormented me, Lee, that, what do you want from me? I'm a realist. I went to bed one night, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I found my mother on the floor with her arm purple. You know, at 14, could you ever believe that something like that could happen?
No, I didn't.
You know, I told the story about Colleen Maines, that I dated this girl. And I would ask her, where's your mother? And one day she said, my mother died. And I thought it was the creepiest thing in the world. She was being raised by her sisters and her mother and her father. Not the mother had passed. I'm sorry. And I got to tell you something. I broke up with her because I didn't even like the feeling of that, how that felt. That creepiness.
Yeah.
That creepiness of not having a mother. I didn't even want her to be around me. And look, 2 years later, my mother died. So when something like that happens, who the fuck am I to tell you about life? How will I know one thing about life? I got to give you a hug when I leave here because I get my car, make a U-turn, and get hit by a fucking silo missile.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. That's all I tell people.
This has been a fucked up year. There's been the movie theater thing, the Newtown, Connecticut, and now this. It's like it seems like it's happening more often now.
So you're going to tell me that now every time you go somewhere, you're not going to look around and be more cautious? Whether it's Costco, whether it's a baseball game, whether it's these motherfuckers, you know. And God bless the people that go through this. I would never want to go through this in a lifetime. Can you imagine being at a fucking race and a bomb goes off?
Yeah.
Just to have some fun. A fucking race. An American race. Fucking people getting together and running. What's next? They're going to bomb fucking the one with the, you know, I don't even want to get into it because some of you misintrude this wrong. I don't want to. But what's next?
Yeah, it's fucking...
An airport? No, they already did a fucking airport. What's next? A park? A baseball game? A UFC event? A movie? Another movie theater? What the fuck is next?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's and Connor Hune, the guy, our buddy who called, and he wrote to me on Twitter yesterday. He must be listening to a backlog. He said, like, you have to really follow your instincts. And there was a guy.
Yeah, on your gut. Yeah, yeah, I seen that. I spoke to him yesterday. He's a good fucking dude, Connor Hune, man. He's a good fucking dude.
Yeah, he's a great guy. There was a one of the guys who helps identify the people in Boston. He, like, made eye contact with the guy, and he put his bag down, and 2 minutes later, the bomb went off. Like, it always feels weird if you're going to, like, raise your hand and be like, this seems weird, he left his bag here, and you never want to do it. But now, when you go anywhere, you're going to have to.
You have to look. You have to look. You have to be alert. No more fucking around, and you have to pay attention. What I've been saying since day one. You know, I was taught that you have to fucking pay attention. You got to walk around and keep your fucking eyes open. What the fuck are you hearing about? Pay the fuck attention. Look around and see what the fuck's going on. When I get out of my car, I'm looking the fuck around. I'm looking at things nobody else is looking at. I'm looking at, why is that guy walking like that? Why is that guy standing there? I look at all this shit. And I could go in a fucking bomb today or get shot today. But pay the fuck attention around to your surroundings. And you know, it could be anybody. It could be fucking anybody. You can't blame it on Arabs no more or nothing. It could be fucking everybody. Anybody. A white dude. It could be fucking anybody, you know? And this has been going on for years, but you're absolutely right. I mean, I still remember the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah.
You know, you were a young fucking guy, right? 94. How old were you? 10?
Six.
Six, you know? I mean, I still remember sitting there with fucking and crying. You know, sitting there and crying. That's feeling empathy, you know, for fucking American kid. Whatever. It's senseless. So my heart goes out to the people of Boston. Hang in there, you bad motherfuckers. Fucking the home of Aerosmith and Rico Petrocelli and fucking the Boston Red Sox 1975 team. I love Louis Tiant and everything that Boston. Fucking Andre Tippett. I've been with you motherfuckers since the beginning. I love you motherfuckers. So hang in there, cocksuckers. I get emotional and shit. Let's do this, Lee. Play some motherfucking music. I'll see you cocksuckers at the Ice House tonight. I'll see you in Texas or I'll see you in Arizona. Keep your fucking eyes open. Pay attention. Tackle a motherfucker because that's all we got. We got ourselves, our loyalty, and our fucking balls. Take it, you bad motherfucking Jew, you. And if you're a Jew, act like one. Leave the house with a lighter. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Cheers.